Hi, my name's Lola Fletcher, and I live in Bundaberg here, and I was born in Maryborough in 1953. That's Maryborough, Queensland, and that's where my dad used to work on a forestry station called, and it was named number 390. And I still have slight memories of turkey hunting and climbing up on a big gate at a big fence at the front of this house, and apparently on reports that it's still standing today. He came to Bundaberg, worked at Ferrymead Mill for many years. He is originally from Cherbourg in Queensland, and he came here and he married my mum, who is a Johnson, whose dad is Bob Johnson, head of the Goorang Goorang clan here in Bundaberg. She is the oldest daughter to Bob Johnson. They had 8 children, six girls and 2 boys. Unfortunately, 2 of the girls have passed away. And yes, and we all live here in Bundaberg at the moment.
And my name's Brad Young. I live in Bundaberg. And we're here on the 10th of November 2011. And just talking a little bit about Lola's life. So what can you remember, Lola, as a, you know, earliest memories as a child? What can you remember there? What are your strongest memories?
Growing up in Bundaberg, at the far end of Payne Street, we used to all live in tin huts. And in that, block of, say, a good block of town land, there would be at least 6 houses, 6 little humpies.
Yes.
And they were all made of tin, corrugated tin that were carded from the tip.
Yes, yep.
And or the square kerosene drums, which were opened up and flattened out. For Christmas, we used to go and cut down, instead of having Christmas trees, we used to cut down saplings and decorate them.
Yes,
with tinsels from our milk bottles.
Mm.
Back there then, we used to have the tinsel on the
milk. Foil milk bottle lids, I can remember those, yes.
Yes, and we used to keep them throughout the year. Mind you, we never used to get many, but we used to keep them, or we just asked the lady to save them for us. Because back then, we didn't have a fridge, we used to drink a lot of powdered milk stuff.
Yes, yep.
We had our water carted in on the back of a draft horse and a wagon, and it was poured into 44-gallon drums. We grew our own veggies. We did a lot of fishing.
Yep. So was that area of Payne Street, that would have been bush then, was it, at that time in all Bundaberg?
Bush.
As in,
yep.
So Payne Street was a dirt road at
yes,
that stage still?
Yes, it was
still?
A dirt road.
Not sealed or anything like
no
gutters.
No,
so it was a dirt, like a track through
dirt,
Bundaberg.
Yep.
And that was, how many houses did you say around?
I'd say there'd only be about 6 houses through
yep
there.
Yep.
All along Payne Street at that time when I was growing up.
Yeah. And lots of families sharing those houses?
Yes. There was a lot of family sharing. I don't know, as you know, it's just one of those things with Indigenous families. Even today, we have a larger than more than the non-Indigenous families living in one house together. But however, times are different these days where there's no need for it, you know, with so much available for Indigenous families that they don't need to do all this sort of thing now.
You talked about that bit of land up behind Norval Pool. What was that area called? You
that was called Moke's Scrub.
Moke's Scrub, yes.
Yeah. That was about a fella by the name of Moke Douglas and his wife Cecilia. They lived on the other side of the creek, on the Norval side, on the Norval Pool side of the creek.
The southern, probably you call it the southern side.
Yes, if you wanted to. And, yes, I can remember walking down there through, I mean, would nothing of it, to walk through there from Dr. Mays Road down through there and go and visit where Mr. Uncle Gordon Agus used to have his Christian fellowship there.
Yes, yep.
At different times of the day or night or week. Yes. And then I I was the lady who I was, my mum's sister, who I was named after, somehow or other took me under her wings because she didn't have any family and couldn't have kids.
Yes, yep.
So we travelled around a lot, and I went to school in Apple Tree Creek while I was living with. I went to school in Darragee in Innisfail with her, and even here in Bundaberg, I lived with her for a little while.
Yep. So yeah. She made sure you went to school all of the time. Yes. That was an important thing to her.
that was before school. That was before my school years.
Yes.
Yep. Once I reached school years, I come back home here to Bundaberg, and that's where I started my school at West School.
Yes.
What other school? I went to East School, and I've been to North.
So what age did you finish school?
I finished school at grade 7.
Yes.
Didn't do high school.
Mm-hmm.
Loved school, but back in those days, we had to pay for everything to go to school, and there was no ab study available.
Yes.
So, but because my two older sisters were in family ways, I was the next in line, female in line, so therefore I had to sort of take care of Mum.
Yes, yep.
So, and around about that day, this is when her life started to have, this is when sickness started to creep into her life.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and that sort of took me away from school a little bit.
Yep.
But I love school, and I just love the sports. Never ever owned a pair of shoes all my time going to school.
Yes, yep.
Two activities I loved at school was sports and singing, and I always wanted to perform on stage. However, I had the chance a couple of times to do it, once in Bundaberg at a talent quest, and I used to always be the lead singer in the Stedford.
Yes, yep.
Which was performed at the Civic Centre, and I always had to borrow my shoes from my friends.
So is that with the school you did with the Stedford? Yes.
Loved it. And a few times I performed up on Hayman Island. When, as I grew older, I went and travelled, I branched out on my own, and I went to Hayman Island in late 60s, early 70s, and I performed up on Hayman Island there a couple of times. And,
And then, now when I first met you, I remember you talked about living down in South Australia for some time, I think, or southern part of Australia.
I lived in Victoria for 20 years.
Sorry, yes. Yep.
I went down there in 1977, and because mine and my children at the time was a very sickly boy, I wasn't allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor said, okay, well, while you're here, we'll give help to get you accommodation. And we stayed for 20 years. We loved it. I was down there, I worked as a liaison officer at one of the schools, at the two schools, primary and secondary. I worked at the nursing home, I worked at the hospital. I did a lot of, my husband and I, Peter, we did a lot of itinerary work, like picking fruit, planting, cutting cane, planting cane, you name it, we've done it.
Yep.
Planting trees. And then I saw a need after a while, as the kids were getting older, I noticed that there was this awful trend happening in their life and in their friends' lives where they were starting to get attached to the drugs, the alcohol and things. And I said to my husband, I think it's about time we got out.
So what age would your kids have been there?
They were high school.
Yes. Yep.
And I said to them, it's about time we went back home. There's more opportunities there. And we did. We came back home into Bundaberg, and we've been here for about 20 years now. And, the opportunities are great. I have three children, Nicole and Brendan and Simone, and I have two grandchildren, Noah and Nakia.
Yes. Thinking back to living with your auntie, can you think of some really either fun times or funny things that happened or things that are really special or important to you that you remember, like really strong memories?
Only thing I remember about my auntie is because I think was the fact that she couldn't have children because she suffered very badly with ulcers.
Yeah.
And so therefore that time of my life with my auntie wasn't very a happy one because forever I was looking after her.
Yes.
And and her husband was in the cane industry over there in Appletree Creek. And mm-hmm. I never ever had any happy memories,
yes.
but they were good memories.
Yes. Yep.
I loved her dearly.
Mm.
And, yeah, so, but as a kid growing up, I just loved my sport.
Yes.
As yep. all our family did.
Yeah. So what were your favourite sports? What if you had a choice?
If I had a choice, I don't know. I just Vigoro was one of them. Yes. They played a lot here in Bundaberg. Vigoro and netball.
Yes.
Yeah. I love my sports and my music, but I just loved school in general. And I think that's why I think I'm living out my dreams now.
Yes.
Whereas I missed out on a lot. I didn't miss out on school when I was going to school.
Yes.
But I'm living my dream now because I think that's where I found my calling working in the school,
mm-hmm.
and I always have. Even though, I mean, working in a nursing home is just like working with kids.
People. Yes.
But I do like the interaction with kids. Yeah. I do love, very yeah. passionate about my job.
I thought at one stage too, when we've talked in the past, that you did you educated yourself a lot.
Oh, yeah. After,
as you went through later life to get skills that you thought you'd missed before.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
Well, before when I worked in Victoria, because prior to going to Victoria, I used to just do manual labour back there. And when I lived in Mackay with my husband, he had a cane picking, harvesting job. And I used to just, do that. I used to go out and help him and different things like that. But anyways, as we went to Victoria, you didn't need the certificates back there than you need today to work in health, to work in education and different things like that. And when I returned home to Bundaberg, it was a big shock. I had to go and get this certificate to be able to work with children. However, not having the education myself, only having primary education, and some of those books did not cater for people in my position.
Yes. Yep.
So it was very, 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 very hard and frustrating, and I nearly did pull the pin a couple of times, but I wasn't going to let it beat me. But however, I think that it's made me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly
has. So is that right back to improving your reading and things like that, and writing? And
I can read. Yeah. I could read. I could write. I could do everything. But the books that the TAFE was putting in front of me, they had all these words that I had never ever come heard.
Across.
Because
in my lifestyle
as growing up, they weren't relevant.
Yes. Yeah.
They weren't relevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
tell us about Hayman Island. That was interesting. You've never told me that before.
Oh, no. Well, it's, when you first branch out so I worked up on a cane farm again, and I worked as a nanny.
Yes.
And I loved that.
Yep.
I loved working as, because it was looking after the kids, looking after, all I had to do was just cook the house, clean the house, and look after the kids. The lady of the house was a chemist lady.
Yes.
And very proper, spoke very proper, and the father, well, he was just an old cane farmer. Talk about completely opposites.
Mm.
So I love that.
Mm. On the way here today, we talked a little bit about your brother, who I've met before, and I know he's not really well now in lots of ways.
No.
But tell me about his life. When he was younger and fitter and
Well, my brother, his name is Cedric. Otherwise known as Sonny, he was a great boxer in his day. He represented, in 1 year, I just forget what year it was, he won a welterweight title, Queensland title. He was chosen to represent Australian either in the 1966 or 68 Olympic Games, but due to an accident, he had... wasn't able to take part. And then it was after that when he they were Tordning, I don't know what they do in Tordning, just up near Merriamvale area, and they decided to go swimming. But because he was, all the boys, his cousins, were all full of scratches, and They decide to go swimming in a stagnant pool of water.
Yep.
But the out of all the boys, and he was the one who had the most to lose, he was the one who contacted this germ and went to his brain, and that's how he contacted meningitis.
So, but when he was at his peak in fitness and everything, he was a very talented boxer.
He fought on TV ringside, I think, in Sydney.
Yes.
Yeah, Golden Gloves. He fought quite a few good fighters around the place. Yeah. Yeah. He was a very good fighter.
Yeah.
And I think Ray Peak, our old photographer, did a story on him in one of his Peak books.
Like a photo story about his history. And in Bundaberg, now you've been settled here for a while, I think.
Yes, back home.
And working in a school.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things you enjoy about working in the school that you're in at the moment?
Oh, look, it's the, you know, when you're passionate about something and you can see the, what's the word I'm trying, when you can see the importance education is so powerful if you use it the right way. It's a beautiful tool. And I believe that if you can get out there and help someone that you know is where you've been. I know I'm some of those kids. I'm some of those kids that are walking around there now, struggling.
Yeah.
If you can get out there and help some of those kids, and just to, if I can help one kid, I think I've done my job. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of peer pressure out there for those kids, but I think sometimes my opinion is that the parents have to step up too as well.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to want to break that cycle.
Yes. Yep.
They've got to be able to want. I know some of them don't know how to get off that merry-go-round.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And some of them don't know and have never been taught. So,
yeah.
I love the school. I love I love the people I work with. But, you know, you work, you know, the teachers and the principals, they come and go all the time. But the kids are there always.
Yes.
And it's there where I find the most satisfaction. And I just love it because I know my grandson's going to high school next year and I'm just so full of proudness and to know that he's, even at the school where he is, that he's one of the top five students in his class. Yes. And that's, no, you know, that's through a lot of encouragement and talking and saying, you know. And that's where I say the teachers, and not the teachers, the parents must step up. They must realise that there's a problem there and they must want to do something about it.
But if they want to, that they can do
that
something
if
about
there's,
it.
If they want to, there's always something there. There's so much. I wish there was so, all this was available when I was going to school for my mum and dad. And I reckon I could have gone on and not that I'm knocking the teacher aid, but I reckon I could have gone on and I could have done what I wanted to do, and that was to sing on stage because I had a great teacher.
Yes.
But it cost money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, when I picked up today, your husband Fletch said he's about to fly over to Western Australia to work.
Oh, he's over the moon.
Yes. Tell us about Fletch.
Peter and I have always, I met Peter, I had my eldest daughter who was a failed relationship, and she was born in 1974, my eldest daughter. Nicole was about one and a half. So, and Peter and I have been together ever since.
You always appear really close.
Yes, we're very close, and I have two children to him, Brendan and Simone, and we're always very close. We do a lot of things as a family.
Yes.
Even when the kids were growing up, we did a lot of travelling.
Yes.
Whether it be up and down the Queensland coast here or down through, you know, New South Wales, Victoria. We always did a lot of things. Even now, when he comes home, we always make it a thing that we all get together.
Yes,
yep. So we're very, very close.
Well, I know education's a passion. I think fishing's another one for
you. Oh, yeah, love the fishing.
So what is it about fishing that you enjoy?
Oh, I think it's from the early days when we used to walk down from Payne Street down to the old pumps, straight down there. And we used to walk down there and, because we never had a car in them days or a horse or anything. Yep. And we used to walk down there and on our way we'd raid the sugar farms because there'd be always like the little prickly cucumbers, we call them back there then, but you know, they call them something else now, which are very expensive to buy.
Yes.
And tomatoes, you know, tomatoes grow everywhere, anywhere. Yep. And we'd always take... And I remember one day I was stung by a catfish, and my brother, my mum's brother, Uncle Doug, pulled out his log cabin tobacco tin, old orangey one, and he took the thing out and he started rubbing that tobacco in his hand, and he stuck it on there and tied it on where I got stung.
Yes. And did that fix it?
I don't know, but. I don't remember, but that's what he did. Yes. You know, that's just a little incident that happened on when we go and fishing. Yeah. And
So is that fishing for fish or crabbing as well and other
things? We weren't into crabbing that much then. But however, and sometimes we used to go to McCoy's Creek. See that the salt water used to flow back into there once upon a time, and we used to fish there for our brim on it. With all we had was a big piece of bamboo with a cork bobbin on it.
Yes. Yep.
And that was because it wasn't a very wide river, creek. So, And I remember another one later on after I'd met Fletch, Bingra Wheel.
Yes, yep.
Before that's the way it is now. That was all, once upon a time, we used to do scooping. We used to have these big wide scoops made.
Yes.
And as the mullet rolled over...
Yes.
We used to run along and wouldn't be any less than 20 people along the bottom waiting for the mullets to roll.
That's coming over the weir, over the top,
And see, that used to be salt water. Where we were standing at Sandy Hook the other day, that used to be all salt water back up into there until they put that barrage in.
Now, you talked about... Way back, I suppose, when you're a child living in the sheds up near Payne Street and you didn't have fridges and things like that. So where did people in Bundaberg get their food from at that stage?
Well, we used to go out and hunting.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do a hunting. We used to go fishing, hunting, or we'd come into to a store and do all that.
Yep. And so where were the shops then?
And the shops was... Over on to Calvin Street.
Yes.
There's one, his name was Henry Ford. He used to live there. And
so it was like a local store, was it? Yeah. They had the greengrocer
and... And there used to be one down in Millbank. So it wasn't that far away.
And you talked about hunting then. Is that, what sort of things did people hunt
when for? When we lived over North Bundaberg, we used to get at the back of North Bundaberg there, where we used to live, there's just all scrub, and we used to go out hunting for porcupine, and we'd all make, and we'd, if there was a bit of mirror, we'd all have a little piece of mirror.
So what's mirror?
A piece of mirror. So as if you get that angle right and you shine that reflection, that light up into the hollow log, you'll see if there's a porky in there or whether there's a snake in there.
Oh, there you go. Before you put your hand down.
Exactly. That's there right. You go. And we used to have a lot of wild honey.
Lots of wild honey. Because they don't sting, do they?
Bees. I can still taste it now, the wild honey. It's just a unique taste altogether.
I'm just thinking there was that new bridge that was opened in Bundaberg not too long ago, and I think they gave it that name, the Wedge Leaf Tuckaroo. Was that a tree or a plant? Was it the...
No. I don't know about this bridge.
Yeah.
No,
that's right. Yeah. What other things did you hunt for?
Kangaroo, you know, kangaroo, goanna.
Yes.
Then, you know, you had to be young and fit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or to try and outrun those things.
Yes.
However, when you do kill a porcupine, you have to... make sure that there's a bag in it that it's never ever busted, because if it's busted with all its yucky stuff in it, if that goes through the meat, so therefore it's no good. Okay. But however, there's no need for that now, is there?
Yeah.
No.
In those times, was there still a lot of traditional things being taught by, say, the men for the boys and the ladies for the girls?
Well, I can remember when my mum's dad passed away, we had to go and smoke his house out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have to smoke their houses out and, that's the way it was done back in the day.
Was that for spirits?
Yes, to lift their spirits, let them fly.
But so the smoke took their soul.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, just trying to think of what else is there. So I can put a stop. Yeah, I'd like to take you back now to when I was a kid and my grandfather, he used to have lived in a little tin hut, and it was made out of the kerosene, square kerosene tins that we'd gotten from the tip. And we used to call it the little red hut, and he used to keep a carpet snake.
Yes.
In his little tin hut for mice, to keep vermin away. Yes. And also nobody was game enough to go there. Yeah, so.
So did you actually see the snake, or it was a real snake. Yes.
And I did see it up in the rafters.
Yep.
Yeah. And, our house has withstood a lot of those cyclones and that. We used to build it from all our stuff that came from the tip.
Yes.
And that's how we built our houses, the rafters and.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So what was his name? That was your grandfather?
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's.
And where was his house? It was up.
It was just probably a couple of. Yeah, because my mum was the oldest.
Yes.
It was her responsibility that he had to stay with her.
Yes.
And when he, unfortunately, he tripped over this log outside his home and he was taken to hospital and I don't think he never ever recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was a very, very important part in our life because he lived with us more or less.
Yes.
And
so what made him important in your life?
Because of what he stood for. He was Bob Johnson, the Gurang Gurang man.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when you say that, was he at the top of the Gurang Gurang? He was the number one man.
He was number one man, yes. Yep. Yeah, so, well, with his brothers, of course.
Yes, yep.
And, but everybody just knew him as Bob Johnson, the Gurang Gurang man. Yeah. He was a very important fella. And, it hit my mum very hard when he went.
Yes.
As it did all the other girls. And he never ever lived with... I've never known him and his wife to live together.
Yes.
They used to live in the next yard.
Yes.
About 100 metres away. Yeah.
So why was that?
I don't know. I think they had just separated.
Yes, yep.
And Nan lived with this older daughter that wasn't Bob's. Mm-hmm, that wasn't granddad's. That's okay. Yep. And they lived. And he'd come home. Well, he didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
He'd come home and he'd have a few beers or something in him.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Irene.
Yes.
And he used to sing to her. In the middle of the night, good night, Irene, good night. Yeah. And, of course, Nan would sing out, Jesse, can you tell that old bugger to shut up?
So this is when they were separated still serenading her across the paddock.
Mm. And back in those days, going for an Indigenous person to go to a pub was still somewhat a no-no.
Yes.
I know we had, there was this taxi driver, his name was Col McDonald, but Guri is another name for an Aboriginal person.
Yes.
So what they called him was Col McGuri. Okay. They still kept the Mac and they called him Col. And he used to come And if they needed anything in town, he'd bring in.
Yep.
He'd bring out the stuff. Yes. He was a taxi driver.
Yeah. So he wasn't Indigenous?
No.
No. But he worked would, really well with the local Indigenous people.
Loved him. He ended up being one of
endeared
us.
Endeared himself, yes. Yes. Yep.
And he used to bring out the alcohol or whatever.
Yes.
You know, back there, then they used to buy, you know, cartons of wine or whatever it was.
Yep. Was there work around then? Like, what sort of...
There was only a lot of field work.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember much, but I remember going out with my mum and dad picking beans or stripping cane, because once you cut the cane, it has to be stripped of all the trash so it could be planted.
Or manual labour in those days.
Oh, manual labour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... And we'd all go out.
Yeah. Can't remember any snakes and things in the cane fields?
No. If there was, we never saw them. We didn't have to worry about anything like that as we were growing up. Everything was, it was just, you know, it was lovely and clean. We always had to, most times, our water was brought in. And if the creeks were running, we'd have our own 44-gallon drums and we'd do it that way.
When the water had to be brought in, where did that come, where did it have to be sourced from?
What's the name? 787. You know the shop at 787 on along to Calvin Street?
Yes, yes.
Outside of that,
yep.
there was this big L-shaped pot coming out of the ground.
Yep.
And it's not long that it's been closed over, and that's where they used to go there and get...
So it was a general water point that people could come and fill up tank if their tanks were dry or they needed water.
Well, mind you, it cost you a couple of little bob to for him to bring it, because he had to make money for it somehow.
Yes.
Yeah, and that same place, well, she used to make butter, that lady. And so we used to go there, and it was a treat to have a bit of butter.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, so we used to, and like I said, all our corrugated tin came from the tip.
Yep.
And if they've got holes in them, we used to also scrounge from the tip bitumen.
Yes.
Melt that down, keep that on the stove.
Yes.
To keep it nice and soft. And that's a wood stove, by the way.
Yes.
And keep it there, and we'd always have it there and press it into the holes. Or chewing gum. Always have it above the, around near the chimney to keep it nice and pliable.
And people would have chipped in together, I guess, in those times.
You
didn't look at just after yourself. I'm guessing you would have looked after each other more broadly than your family.
Yes, yeah. We had had ducks roaming around and chooks. And we had, and where we used to live, there was always a lot of young saplings. And we have bullium as in witchetty grub hunting.
Yep.
You know, the kids would go, because that's one thing that they could do.
Yes.
So we used to go and do that. So, yeah.
Where do you find those? And the roots around them.
Well, when you look at a tree, you look down there on the ground, and if there's sawdust there, you know that they burrowed into the tree.
Okay.
However, when you go to Victoria, that same sort of bardy grub, they call it, is used for fishing.
Okay, yeah.
So to catch the big cods.
Yeah. Were there any big community events where everybody got together?
Mum and Dad and we used to all walk over to Norval Hall.
Yes.
And that's where they used to have their dances. They used to do the dances like, you know, as in the Pride of Erin and all those. Yep. My dad was a beautiful waltzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was that like a monthly or a weekly?
Probably, I don't know, every couple of months. But I remember going there a few times. And I know where Paradise Dam is. I can remember Mum and them talking about this town of Paradise Dam.
Yes.
It's situated at the bottom of the dam
Paradise.
Yeah, Paradise. And I remember them going over there once upon a time.
So they used to travel to different halls for the dances.
And by that stage, that's when the old Dodge, somebody would have an old Dodge and back in those days, they used to taxi too, long distance. It probably cost them only a couple of dollars just to travel from here to there.
So what happened with the Dodge? Everybody piled into the back?
Yeah, but there was no limit back there then.
Yes.
You know, even the old Ute, she could pile as many as you can. Yeah. So, yeah. My dad worked out at Coonabba Mill for many, 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 many years. But because he hadn't worked consecutive months, he must have done about 20, 30 years every crushing. Yeah. He only did the crushing.
Mm-hmm.
But because he wasn't allowed, he didn't do any the consecutive years. He was never ever entitled to any long service leave and things like that.
Just a seasonal worker.
He did many years on the council.
Mm.
But after a while, the cement started eating into his flesh, so he had to give that up.
Yeah.
He was my idol.
Yes.
Never swore, hardly ever drank, had a smoke. He was, I've yet to meet another man like him.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. I was very close to my dad, and I think he must have taken a liking to me because he named me Lola. But I think he's missed it somehow or other because his mother's name was Lila.
Yes. Yep.
So somehow or other he's missed it. Anyways, yeah. He and I were very, very close.
Mm.
Yeah.
What can you remember sort of about times with your dad then, things like special memories
with him? Oh, sitting down. He loved to have a game of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he loved to have a game of cards, sit down, and he loved his grandkids. Yes. Loved his grandkids. Mm. And I think that's where I get it from.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking that as you said that, because I know you love your grandkids dearly. Oh, my love,
yes. And
What sort of card games?
Oh, just poker. Patience.
Yes.
And he didn't go, he wasn't one of those ones that sort of went out and he was a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
And like my mum, unlike my mum who liked a bit of gambling, playing cards.
Yes.
My dad, he was just so fantastic.
Mm.
And I wish he was here to see. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe, but just to see just what's happened in the world now.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
We've talked about sort of around Bundaberg. Did the family ever go down to the beach, with the beach relatively close? I know.
Yeah, well, in October, we used to catch a train from, it was a railway picnic. Mm-hmm. We used to catch a train from here to Harvey Bay.
Yes, okay.
And back again. It was a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember going, catching the railway picnic down to one of the beaches, Bargara.
Yes, yep.
You're all along there. See, there used to be a railway track through there, all those cane paddocks.
Cane railway as such, yep.
No, it was a proper little railway.
Mm.
And we used to go down through, I remember going down there a couple of times, playing games down there, yeah. But in summing up, regrets, I've got a few to mention. As the song goes, I wouldn't change anything. But anything, if I did change, I would concentrate on my education back there then.
Yep.
Because I know that I missed out a lot.
Yes.
I did have an opportunity to keep on going when I was working at the Mata here. Mm. I met with a lady, Salento's mum.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her, and she was, at that stage when I met her, she was into this. This is when the vitamins were being pushed out into the forefront, and she was one of them.
Mm.
And I had the opportunity to go and nurse for her.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Diana just passed away, and I did meet her and her mum.
Mm.
They were very nice people.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they're just little things that in my life that I would like
sometimes to... Sometimes think could have been different.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not saying that I wouldn't change anything now. I like where I am in my life and, yeah.
Mm. Thanks for that, Lala.
Thank you, Bradley.
You enjoyed that time.
Huh.